Good morning. It's Wednesday, May the 6th, 2026, and it's the thick part of the week. The spring research cycle is in full swing, and the day's reading list is heavy on enterprise plumbing and on-the-ground deployments, rather than frontier-pushing announcements. Pour yourself something warm. I want to walk you through four things this morning that, taken together, tell a coherent story about where the field is putting its attention right now. First up, OpenAI quietly replaced the default model in ChatGPT yesterday morning, swapping in a release they're calling GPT 5.5 Instant. This is a successor to GPT 5 Instant, and the framing OpenAI is going with is not capability jump, but trust and stability. The headline numbers are not benchmark wins. They are hallucination reductions on the regulated verticals that have driven most enterprise complaints over the past year: law, medicine, and finance. The system card reports a 41% reduction in serious hallucination rate on the company's internal Legal Bench Pro evaluation and a 55% reduction on a curated medical advice eval, both versus GPT 5 Instant. The general query average drops by a more modest 12%, which tells you the gains are concentrated where OpenAI applied the most targeted post-training. The latency profile is preserved, sub-sec and time to first token, at the 50th percentile per the system card. The post-training stack is substantially retrained, a larger constitutional AI-style refusal corpus around medical license claims and legal citation fabrication, a new evidence-grounded answer mode that the system card describes as default on for queries. The safety classifier flags as professional advice-shaped and what OpenAI is calling personalization controls. User-level toggles for verbosity, citation density, and tone stability across conversations. The rollout is silent. There's no model picker change, no banner inside the ChatGPT product, just a Tuesday morning swap of what the default model name resolves to. That choice is itself notable. After a year of vocal pushback on prior model swaps, OpenAI is evidently settling on a strategy of doing the upgrade and not asking. On the LMSYS chatbot arena public leaderboard at the time I'm recording this, GPT 5.5 Instant is in second place behind a Gemini 3 Ultra Reasoner experimental endpoint. So the model is not pushing the frontier, but it's also not far from it. And the careful regulatory domain post-training is what makes it interesting. Open questions worth tracking. Whether the personalization controls leak across organizational boundaries, the way some of the persistent memory features did 6 months ago, whether the lower hallucination rate trades off against the model's willingness to take strong positions on borderline controversial prompts, the system card hints at slightly higher refusal rates there, and whether competitors will follow with their own narrowly targeted regulatory domain releases or continue to compete primarily on raw capability. If you're tracking the enterprise AI revenue layer specifically, this is the model release that matters this week. Moving on to our second story, the Allen Institute for AI's Robotics Group dropped Momo Act 2 on the archive overnight, and it's the paper sitting at the top of Hugging Face Daily Papers right now, with 182 upvotes. Momo Act 2 is a vision language action model, a generalist policy for robots that takes pixels and natural language instructions in and outputs robot actions. What makes this paper worth your time is that the authors explicitly frame it against what they call the four real-world deployment criteria, and they argue that frontier vision language action systems from the past 2 years have optimized leaderboard scores on benchmarks like RoboArena and Simpler Env while ignoring at least one of these axes, and as a result, they look strong on paper but break in field deployments. The four criteria are these: latency under 100 milliseconds for closed-loop control, robustness to camera jitter and lighting shift, behavior interpretability via intermediate action plan tokens, and a path to fine-tuning on a single robot's demonstrations without catastrophic forgetting on the base policy. Architecturally, Momo Act 2 introduces what the authors call action reasoning tokens, an intermediate sequence emitted between the visual encoder and the low-level action decoder that carries a discrete plan in robot space: move to pose, grasp with force, retract, before the continuous joint velocity outputs. This is the key technical claim of the paper: decoupling the discrete plan from the continuous trajectory at the token level both improves interpretability and lets fine-tuning target one or the other independently. The team reports a 14% absolute improvement on Robo Arena over the prior Momo Act release at the same parameter count of 12 billion, with an 8x reduction in catastrophic forgetting on the base policy after task-specific fine-tuning. Latency on a Jetson AGX. Thor sits at 47 milliseconds per action, comfortably inside the 100 millisecond target. Though the authors note this required INT8 quantization of the encoder, which costs about 3 points on the harder Robo Arena tasks. The paper situates itself relative to Physical Intelligence's PI's Zero family, NVIDIA's GR00TN2, and the Open VLA Plus line, claiming Momo Act 2 is the first to clear all four deployment criteria simultaneously. Practitioner discussion in the Hugging Face comments centered on two issues: whether the action reasoning token vocabulary generalizes to bimanual platforms, the release checkpoints are single arm, and whether the catastrophic forgetting benchmark the authors define is the right thing to measure. Some commenters preferred forward transfer metrics on held out tasks. Allen released both 4 billion and 12 billion checkpoints under an Apache 2.0 license with weights, SimEval harness, and a Docker container for the Jetson deployment. Read alongside the rest of this week's Robotics Foundation model news. Momo Act 2 reinforces the trend that the open weights vision language action tier is now viable for serious deployment work, not just a research curiosity. Third up, a Hacker News front page story that has crossed 1,391 points by the time of this digest. A blog post from a writer going by the Privacy Guy argues that Google Chrome silently installs a 4 GB on-device AI model, Gemini Nano, through Chrome's component update mechanism without user prompt or opt-in toggle. The author traces the install path. Chrome's component updater pulls the Nano weights as part of a routine background sync. The model lands in the user's profile directory, and the disk usage is invisible from Chrome's own About Settings storage interface. The post documents the disk space impact across Linux, Windows, and macOS, and shows that the install proceeds even when the user has explicitly disabled Chrome's experimental AI features and settings. The Hacker News top comments split between three positions worth surfacing. One position is that this is consistent with how Chrome has shipped large component updates for years: the Safe Browsing Database, the V8 binary, the Web GPU shim, and that the 4 GB number is anomalous in degree, not in kind. A second position is that the lack of any UI surface for the install is the actual harm. Users on metered or capped storage have no way to know the model is there until they go looking. And a third position is that the privacy concern is overblown because the model runs entirely on device and never sends inference data to Google. Several commenters posted shell snippets to find and delete the model directory, with the caveat that the component updater will re-download it within hours unless the user disables Chrome's component update channel entirely. Google has not formally responded as I record this. The story's notable, less for the technical details. Gemini Nano on-device has been documented by Google for over a year and more as a popularity signal. A 1,391-point Hacker News front-page result reflects a genuine community concern about the silent shipping of large model artifacts, the disk space and consent dimension of on-device AI, and the broader question of what users are agreeing to when they accept a browser update. Expect this to surface in adjacent regulatory conversations. The European Union's Digital Services Act component disclosure obligations, the FTC's recent AI product transparency push, within days, not weeks. If you're an on-device AI vendor, take a hard look at how your product handles consent. The community's patience for silent shipping of large model artifacts is evidently running thin. And for our fourth and final story today, week one of the Musk versus Altman bench trial in the Northern District of California ran through the heart of OpenAI's foundational governance story. Musk's claim is that the 2015 founding agreement bound OpenAI to remain a nonprofit research lab. Altman's defense is that the for-profit subsidiary structure was disclosed to and accepted by Musk before he resigned from the board in 2018, and both sides have spent the past 2 months extracting from Discovery a long parade of texts and emails from the early years that they're now walking the judge through in the courtroom. MIT Technology Review's Daily Roundup leads with a courtroom note that is, in my view, the right framing. The testimony so far has been less about the technology and more about the legal status of mission-locked nonprofit conversions, the question that will set precedent for the next decade of frontier AI corporate structure. The Last Week in AI podcast walks through the most contested exhibits of the week. Musk's text to Greg Brockman about settlement terms, Altman's contemporaneous emails to the board about the cap profit structure, and a deposition transcript from Reid Hoffman that the plaintiff's side is using to argue a parallel track narrative. The podcast hosts note that the judge has signaled skepticism about Musk's standing on parts of the complaint, and that several of the most aggressive claims, the "you can't just steal a charity" line that has dominated the press coverage, are not the legal theory the case will actually be decided on. The trial is scheduled to run through mid-June. The relevance to the rest of the field is what makes this matter beyond the Musk-Altman drama. This is the case that will set the legal frame for how every other AI lab can or cannot convert from a nonprofit research stance to a commercial entity. Anthropic's public benefit corporation structure, the various ongoing OpenAI restructuring conversations with Microsoft, and the recently announced enterprise joint ventures are all watching the outcome closely. Expect a flurry of corporate counsel commentary, regardless of which way the verdict comes down. If you work in or near AI corporate strategy, this trial is worth following on the merits, not the personalities. So that's the day. What's striking about all four of these together is how much of the field's attention has shifted from frontier capability claims to the operational and structural questions underneath the products. Silent regulatory domain post-training, deployment criteria-led model design, on-device consent practice, and the legal status of mission-locked nonprofits. None of these stories is about a model that does something new. All four are about the institutional and operational layer where AI is now being judged by people who have to actually deploy it, regulate it, or live with it. That's a healthier place for the field to be putting its attention than where it was a year ago. The full digest has 84 items today. Defense procurement, several robust evaluation papers, the Pennsylvania Character.ai suit, 11 labs at $500 million in annual recurring revenue, and a long tail of archive research worth your skim. Head to wolfdigest.com if you want the full picture. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Until then, keep reading papers.